Hello, good evening and welcome. And this evening, we're very fortunate to have as our guest, Marion Bourne, who stars herself as a crossroads coach. Hello, Marion.
Hi. Hi, Jean.
Hello. Lovely to have you on the show.
A little bit. No, I was just going to say I'm really, really excited to be here.
Very good. Okay. Well, can I start by asking you to tell our listeners what a crossroads coach is and does?
Yes. Well, I found from the work that I do that I kind of work with a lot of clients who have come to a crossroads in their life. And the crossroads can be in terms of their relationships or their work. And I think that moment comes for lots of women when they get to about 45 or 50. It's that moment when we have a big birthday with a zero on the end of it. And we start asking those big questions about, you know, what am I doing? What have I achieved? And what do I want to do, you know, going forward with my life?
That's the classic midlife woman age and question. So I'm really delighted that, you're talking to people at, bang on target.
So I mean, I guess I probably attract those people because, you know, I've been at a crossroads myself, not once, but twice and probably several times. So I really understand what it's like when you get to that moment when you know you've got to make changes or you've got to make decisions, but it's really difficult to do.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fascinating. And it's really good to have you on the show. But something obviously becoming a crossroads coach is not something that's taught in the academic world. It's more taught in the world of experience. So would you like to tell us how you've arrived at this point? Tell us your journey.
Yeah, gosh, I don't know where to start. Basically, I've been a therapist for 20 years. So I treat a lot of conditions. I treat many, many women who are burnt out and exhausted. And I think out of that work, because I've treated so many women that have got to that point, so they arrive in my practice and typically women have no energy. They've been to their GP saying, I've got no energy, my libido's gone, what's happening to me, my shape is changing. And mostly the doctors say, you know, I'm really sorry, but you've got to learn to live with it. And I kind of realized just treating and working with lots of women, but actually that's what happens to us when we, you know, we hit this age of basically anything over 45 is when we, you know, when we're experiencing those changes and we're looking for answers. And basically women have more questions than answers. There aren't any answers. So they usually end up going to, you know, complementary people like me. And, you know, my crossroads, I hit burnout about 3 years ago. I had been under a lot of stress and I realized, you know, I'm quite happy to share that, you know, I would go to Sainsbury's and somebody would say something to me and I'd burst into tears. And you'd think being a therapist for all this time, I would have realized that, you know, I had a problem. But of course, most therapists, you know, we're very good at looking after other people, but we're less good at looking after ourselves. Anyway, of course, you know, I did eventually realize and I'd hit burnout. And burnout affects people in different ways. And I crashed. And that's when I really recognized this thing about, you know, we get to this point in life where there are decisions to make, but we just don't have the reserves and we don't have the knowledge to make those decisions. So that's why I became really interested in midlife women and this thing about the crossroads. So that's why I've kind of named myself the crossroads coach.
That's very good. It's very, very apt.
You know, some people come because they're adrenally exhausted. And I do a combination of lots of different things to help people because I've studied quite a lot of things. So I work with nutrition, I work with supplements, I do body work, and I'm also a life coach. and I use hypnotherapy and hypnosis. So, and I did all those things because basically no one therapy is right for everybody.
May I ask you, Marianne, what sort of therapy were you doing before you had your, as you said, your crash?
Well, I've for the last 20 years, I mean, I'm a nutritionist, I'm a kinesiologist, I'm Bowen therapist, I do craniosacral work, I'm a life coach, and I'm also more recently a hypnotherapist. So I've been doing all of those things for 20 years.
Yes.
And so I bring all of them, or, you know, parts of them, into the treatments that I do with people.
Right. And had you encountered clients who were going through this before it happened to you?
Probably less so. I think before this happened, I actually used to treat, and I still do, but I used to treat a lot of injuries and pain. And that's quite an interesting question you've asked, because up until that moment, my whole journey started long, long time ago when I had an ankle injury. And I used to be a personal trainer, and I used to go running with people to get them fit, and I injured myself, and I spent literally thousands and thousands of pounds on chiropractors and osteopaths, and eventually I found somebody to work with who identified that I had mercury toxicity. And from that, and working with, I worked with him, I actually trained with him as well, and that's why I realized that no one therapy fits everybody.
Yes.
And out of that work of having an ankle injury, my ankle injury literally has led me to where I am today.
Right.
So I did all those therapies on the back of treating people for lots of different problems. And because I'd had the ankle injury and because I'd been in so much pain myself, I think that's what I attracted. And, you know, I still do attract people who have injuries, because I love getting people out of pain.
Right. But Marianne, there's a bit of your journey which you've not told us, but you told me a little bit about, and you said you've been at the crossroads at least twice. I think our listeners would like to know a bit about your sort of early life before you became a personal trainer. Or did you start that straight from school or college?
No. I became a personal trainer. So once upon a time I was married, and we split up, and I then had to decide what I wanted to do with my life. So that was actually, as I look back, a crossroads moment.
Yes.
Before that, I used to work in property. I used to work for a big agent in central London, and I didn't want to go back to doing that. And so that's when I went down the kind of personal training exercise route.
Right.
And from that, and being injured, that led me into following and training in all the therapies that I do.
So that must have covered quite a few years.
Absolutely. So I can, you know, I will own up to being a course junkie. I don't call myself that now, but certainly for many years, I've spent a lot of money on doing a lot of trainings.
Well, so nothing wrong with that.
I think most therapists, speaking for myself, every training that I've ever done, it's always because I want to add something else that's going to help the next person that walks through my door.
Wonderful.
That's why many people think I do too many things, but to be honest, I just think that's, you know, it's nice to have a lot in your tool bag to offer people.
Yes. So this the only as recently as 3 years ago did you feel you said you'd hit burnout, and did you have a difficult decision to make then?
My difficult decision 3 years ago was, yes, really what I wanted to do, because I've been doing what I do for, as I say, 20 years. and I love what I do, but actually when you hit burnout, you just lose your passion. You lose your enjoyment in life, to be honest. And I really questioned whether I wanted to go on doing what I'm doing. So my crossroads was deciding, you know, do I want to carry on treating people? Because I think a lot of therapists can get to a point where you hit burnout, or you just get compassion fatigue, if I'm really honest. A lot of therapists get compassion fatigue. Yeah, and I think I'm being really honest here, but, you know, at that time I was under huge stress. And when people come to see me, you know, we talk about quite personal things, and I think when you're under a lot of stress, or you think you're thinking to yourself, actually I can't really handle or look after anybody else because I need to look after myself, and that's when you get, yeah, I call it compassion fatigue, because you kind of run out of the ability to look after yourself, so you haven't got the compassion to really be there for somebody else. And when I recognized that, that was all part of my crash, my burnout, because it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens, burnout and crashes happen over time.
Yes, yes, I see. So how have you rebuilt, what do you do and your approach since the crash?
Well, when I realized what was happening, I gave myself permission to not work for 2 months.
Right.
And I literally went and did some house sitting and looked after some dogs and cats. And I just went out of London and just had time to sit and do nothing. I think most people in London need, you know, we all lead quite stressful lives. And it was just, I needed to get out of London and, you know, have some quiet thinking time. And I also, you know, I am a coach for other people, but every coach should have a coach. And I had coaching myself as well.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Well, you can't say that too often. Every coach should have a coach.
Yeah, and I, you know, I practice what I preach. So, in fact, I still have a coach now. In fact, I have two, you know, that help me with different things. So, I believe we all need help, and I think it's really important to be able to ask for help.
Right. Yes. Well, we hopefully live in a helping community where we help each other. So, the person who thinks they can stand on their own without help is riding for a fall, I would say.
Absolutely. But I think for a lot of therapists, sometimes it's really hard to ask for help because people are so used to being in the kind of caring role that a lot of therapists don't recognize that they also need time out, and they also, you know, it's like psychotherapists all have supervisor, which is, you know, keeps you healthy. It's really important to have somebody else for you to go and talk to.
Yes, absolutely. So can you tell us a bit more, Marion, about how people present with the decision? Because, I mean, do they all come with a clear cut? Well, I'm asking this because I think it's probably not true. Coming with a clear cut saying I can do either A or B, or are they in a state where you have to winkle out the fact that there's a decision underneath their condition, or are some of them deliberately not facing up to it?
To be honest, most the thing about the crossroads is you get to this point and you're at the crossroads because you actually don't know how to move forward. You don't know where to move forward to. You're at that point because you don't have any energy. You're kind of making lots of decisions about different aspects of your life. So most people have no idea what they want to do or where they want to go because life just becomes so difficult. And for a lot of women, they've never had to really think about what they want to do with their lives, because that's, you know, we plan our lives, we go to school, we go to university, or we get married, we have children. All of that is really plain sailing. And then you get to 45, 50, and perhaps your children have left school. You may or may not still be with your partner. You might have got to the top of the tree in your career. So all of that is, you know, you plan for all of that, but you don't plan for the other half of your life.
Yes. So and the second half of your life. That what you
the
mean?
Second half.
Yes.
Yeah. And the second half, you know, it might be 45 or it might be 50 or 55, but it's the later part of our life that we just, we don't even realize it when we're younger. We don't plan for it at all. So it's, I think that thing about the crossroads is we're there because, well, we never planned. We didn't know there was going to be a crossroads and we have no idea what to do when we get there.
Well, the truth seems to be for most women up to the midlife point is there's never any question about what to do next because there's always more to do next. And then suddenly to, as it were, run out of, or have something to cause you to suddenly stop and say, "My, I do have a choice," or "Is there a choice?" Or maybe they're presented with something which is a forced choice. Mm-hmm. But I'm very interested in how clearly people see this as a choice, or whether you have to help them to clarify the choice.
No, I think it's a case of helping people see that they have choices, because a lot of women, they maybe come and see me, they don't know they're stuck, but then when we talk about, you know, why they don't have any energy, or why they've put on weight, and they don't have answers, because the answers are not readily available, and then,
yes,
you know, and then people start talking about, actually, you know, my husband's retired, and what very often happens, you know, that saying about, you know, you get married for better or worse, but not for lunch.
That's another one I've not heard before. Wonderful.
And so a lot of women around, you know, 50, 55, their husbands are about to retire, and a lot of women are totally, well, devastated is probably too strong a word to use, but suddenly the idea of, you know, the husband's going to be at home all day is actually very challenging for them. And that's, again, oh my God, what am I going to do? And so, yeah, that's, you know, it's that time you think, oh, how am I going to cope with this? And what am I going to do? And am I going to have to plan my days differently? And that actually can be very worrying and cause a lot of anxiety, because actually, of course, it's quite a difficult conversation to have. I mean,
yeah,
how do you know, if you're a wife and your husband's about to retire, he's probably really looking forward to it, but he's not going to be very happy if his wife says to him or brings up the subject, well, what am I going to do with you at home all day? You know,
yes,
it's not a subject that women can talk about very easily. And so actually, that's one of those things where,
yeah,
it's real mind-body connection. Very often, women will start getting physical symptoms. So they might start getting headaches, or they have digestive problems, or they have back or neck problems, which
I see,
are new,
yeah,
and have come out of the blue, but actually they're caused through the stress of worrying, because I believe that our bodies are brilliant at giving us physical messages, if you like, for what's actually going on in our mind.
Absolutely. They're like a barometer. They're telling us what we they're forcing us to look at things, aren't they? And I was just going to add the point that, unfortunately, in today's world, retirement for the male partner can come unexpectedly early in many cases. So it's not just 65, which would assume that the partner was of a similar age, but it can happen in 40s. Men can find their career comes to a sudden halt, and it's not easy for them to find a new path.
Absolutely. And nowadays, particularly because, you know, jobs are no longer for life. So suddenly, as you say, at 45, you know, men could suddenly be made redundant.
Yes. So, I've got a much clearer picture now of midlife women presenting with all these physical with some, and mental, a combination of symptoms which they don't have probably much of a clue about the underlying cause.
No, so many times, you know, women come, as I say, because they're very, very tired. They've got no energy. They could have a lot of gut problems, or they'll have physical things that they've come to me for. But actually, very often, all those things relate to what's going on in their head. They all relate to, you know, problems in their life. I mean, it sounds very obvious to say, but, you know, back problems, sometimes they're related to your gut, and sometimes they could be related to the fact that you're actually just not getting the support that you want in life. You know, your husband's not there for you, or your partner's not there for you. And, you know, and particularly for women, that's because mostly women are my clients, but, you know, women are facing the death of their parents. And so suddenly, you probably know this saying, you know, women are orphaned at 50. And that's a big shock. It's the end of an era.
Yes.
Very often, you know, you don't have the support of your parents. And it's also that time when you realize, oh my God, I am the next generation.
Yes, yes. So may I ask you, Marion, when someone does present for that, they probably are impatient to have something done about their physical condition, and yet you know you're going to have to dig down underneath that. What? How do you do the balance of giving them some hope or some relief, let's say, on the physical front, as well as then doing the necessary digging down?
So usually that's a really good question. Usually people come because they've got physical problems. Unless somebody comes for coaching, then that's obviously what we're going to do. But if somebody comes with physical things, we probably start work on could be the detoxing or whatever they need to, you know, alleviate their symptoms. But actually in talking to people, it sort of becomes pretty obvious that it's not just physical. And so then we look at, so what's going on in their private life?
Yes.
So it's I think it's a combination of giving people help to deal with the problem that they've come in with, but then actually looking at, so what's going on underneath that could have contributed to it?
Right, and is that a sort of kind of question you would ask early on, or would you wait a while?
Yeah, so usually when somebody, you know, my first appointments are about an hour and a half to 2 hours, because I like to have time to talk to people, find out what's going on, and usually we find out that, you know, there's a lot of stress at home that could be impacting their physical life. And actually very often people don't realize that the stress they're going through is contributing to their symptoms, and it's only when you start talking about it that people realize, because most of us, you know, we are hardwired to adapt and get on, so we get used to living with stress, and we don't realize the stress that we're coping with
and the toll it's taking. Yes,
exactly. So it's a combination of, you know, working on the physical things. And so we might do that one session, another session. I might suggest that we look at, you know, whatever else is going on in life. And that might be a coaching session.
Right.
So it's very much, the way I work is everybody has a different treatment, and it's totally tailored to what they need.
Yes, yes, I understand. So the transition from getting physical relief to looking at the underlying issues, the stress and so forth, that usually happens quite smoothly, does it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, because I think from the way that I work and the conversations we have, I think people kind of quite quickly realize that, yeah, actually what's going on in their life could be contributing to the headaches that they get, you know, the migraines, or why they get bloated, or why they get back pain. You know, it's that thing about, so somebody could ring me up and say, or they arrive and then suddenly they got out of bed and they've got a back problem. And they didn't have a back problem when they went to bed. So what happened?
Yes.
You know, that's a classic thing. Well, you wake up one morning and you've got a stiff neck and you've slept in the same bed on the same pillow. And what's changed? And 9 times out of 10, what's happened is you've been living with a lot of stress. And finally, one day, your body will manifest it as a symptom. So what I didn't say earlier was I told you I crashed 3 years ago, and that actually happened to me. And I went to bed one night absolutely fine. The next morning, I woke up with a very swollen knee. I couldn't stand on it. I was in excruciating pain.
Wow.
And that is, I experienced it. So I know how real this is. So I'm so aware of how our bodies will manifest symptoms in relation to the stress that we're going through. And that, as I say, that happened to me. And that was one of the things that made me realize, oh my God, I'm living with this stress. I need to do something about looking after me.
Well, yes, definitely. Well, I mean, as you said, that is such a telling lesson, really, the fact that one goes to bed and gets up the next morning with something you didn't have when you went to bed. You can't blame it on the stairs or shopping bags or anything like that, because there was nothing happening.
And even, a long time ago, I mean, as I say, I've been treating people for over 20 years, but I remember, just to give you another example, anybody listening might resonate. When my mother died, the day I went home, that night, and she only had a few more days to live, but that night that I arrived there, when I went to bed, my stomach was bright red. It looked like I had a kind of red rash.
Yes.
And that was pure stress. So that was, that was something that, it was a long time ago, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, here it is, my body giving me this message.
Yes. Oh, well, it's so true, and the trouble is that for most people, they don't listen to the message. The messages have got to get so severe that they almost incapacitate you before. Well, I'm generalizing, of course, for so many people I know, they press on and press on, hoping that it'll get go away. Now, so when people come to you, what's the most, well, I was going to say the most common route by which they come to you? They find an advertisement, or are they recommended by somebody else? How do people come to you?
To be honest, I have been very, very lucky. I've never advertised. All my work has come to me by word of mouth, by referral. So I've never advertised at all.
Well, that's
so wonderful. I've been incredibly lucky.
Well, it's a credit to your reputation and obviously the vibes that you put out, other people pick up without realizing. We all know that there's an element that goes on outside our ken, which is people are attracted to somebody who is a source of help when they really need it, provided they listen. This is always the thing. I mean, you can always suppress it, but of course, nature has a way of reinforcing the lesson with something worse.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for giving us such a graphic picture of the work you do and the reasons why you do it too. Wanted to ask you was if you want to tell our listeners something about the future, your plans for the future, because I think you've got ambitious plans.
I'm launching an online coaching course which I hope to have finished probably in about 6 weeks time, and it's going to be all about midlife. It's at the moment, the title of my course is Real Solutions for Midlife Women.
Oh, splendid.
Boost your energy and your health in 90 days. So great. It's a program for women to follow online. Basically everything that I do in my practice, I'm putting into this course, so they can, you get the benefit of every, literally you get my questionnaires and everything that I give people in my practice, and I make suggestions on the course. There will be downloads of meditation. I think a lot of women at this age lose their confidence, because the other thing that midlife women do is they realize they're becoming the next generation when their parents die. They start looking back to the generation behind them, and they make comparisons. And in those comparisons, they lose their confidence. I'm thinking of putting a download there, which will really help women to. It's like reprogramming our brain, our brain, to get back our confidence to be the amazing, beautiful women that we truly are.
Well, we are so much on the same script, Marion. It's wonderful. And I will certainly make sure that as soon as that's ready, we will promote it through all the medium that we have for the new midlife woman community.
Thank you.
But in the meantime...
If anybody wants to, on as of Monday, I hope that I will have an opt-in on my website, which is thebornpractice.co.uk. There'll be a little free book, which is actually going to be about stress. But basically, everybody who signs up, I will let them know as and when my course, not as and when my course is ready.
Right. Well, may I just say, for the benefit of the listeners, there is a chat box down at the bottom, bottom right-hand corner. I hope it's on my screen. I hope it's on yours. If you want to make any question, I'm going to suggest the following. I hope I know all. Well, I do know all the people who registered for the course. So I will firstly see if I can do this, which is to put this address in. Yes, there it is. Now that's a live link, folks. You can copy that and write to Marion with that. But I'll also, unless you tell me not to, I will forward the list of people and their email addresses to Marion, so Marion can send you a bit more information about this wonderful sounding course as soon as you're ready. Is that okay with you, Marion?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Yes. Thank you very much for doing that. Thank you.
Well, it's like a course I would have loved to have written myself, but I don't have the knowledge and experience that you have. So I'm really delighted because, well, the things that you said, particularly about the comparisons with younger women, which are so devastating, the effect they have. Mm. But also, I believe that midlife women have potential, as you said, to reinvent themselves with a different sort of beauty, power, and magnificence, let's say. But I'm using the parallel more and more now, escaping from the chrysalis to become a butterfly.
Yes, I love that image, actually. I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll work
together. Breaking out of being the chrysalis.
That's right. Yes. Well, we'll work together on making sure that happens for more and more people. So what I could just tell our audiences, that which we haven't mentioned, is that you live and operate in South London, don't you?
Yes, I'm in Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, right. So for some of the people who probably would love to make contact with you and use it, that may be geographically a bit of a challenge, but this new course that you're doing, plus no doubt people who embark upon the course will have access to you electronically with our wonderful modern media, is the next best thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, I do Skype coaching calls, so that's another possibility.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
Yes. So, Skype is brilliant for doing. Obviously, we can't do the diet and all the body work and things, but we can do a lot on Skype.
That's fantastic. Well, so the live link is there in the box. It's really given me quite a few thoughts that I have not had before, based upon your experience. The thing is, until a few years ago, the midlife woman type situation was really unknown. Obviously it was not unknown to the people who were experiencing it, but they had no support based upon the fact that they thought they were the only one who had that trouble.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, it used to be, the midlife crisis was the male prerogative. It was, men who had a midlife crisis and, got a fast car and had an affair and made some strange clothes choices. It was men who had the midlife crisis, not women. But but actually, I've just been doing some research, and it goes back way, you know, way, way back. But, you know, 2010, there were articles about the midlife crisis. And even earlier this year, The Guardian wrote about the midlife crisis. So it's very real. It's very present. And
were they writing about the midlife crisis for women?
Yes.
I wrote an article myself a few months ago now saying men have monopolized this midlife crisis concept, yet women have so much more reason, and you've outlined many of them. Many of the things in their life change much more dramatically. I mean, men have their own difficulties, of course, but for women it's very difficult to escape these particular things, these changes that you mentioned in terms of children, parents, and all those things, the impact that they have on women, plus whatever else is going on in their lives as causes of stress.
Absolutely.
Once again, thank you very much, Marianne.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, and thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'll just tell our audience that this interview will appear on our website very shortly. So much wisdom in what Marianne had to tell us that I'm sure many people would appreciate an opportunity to listen to it more than once. So once again, thank you to our audience. Thank you again, Marianne. And if you'd like, say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you. And we'll be in touch again. So Sean MacDonald of the New Midlife Women Community signing off. Goodbye.